Day after tomorrow, gentlemen, we'll be in Las Vegas.
Welcome to Vegas.
Las Vegas functions on a 24-hour-a-day schedule.
The pools, the casino.
Big volcano out in front.
That's the Eiffel Tower.
Bellagio.
Riviera.
The Mirage.
Flamingo. Sahara.
The MGM Grand.
This isn't the real Caesar's Palace, is it?
I want to gamble.
They always put the machines that pay off the most right in the front.
Good luck.
The Strip is just the most amazing stretch of road, I think, probably anywhere in the world.
Kicking ass in Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
Vegas, baby.
Welcome to Las Vegas.
Welcome to the bonus round. This is a chance for us to bring you some additional Vegas content, not a part of the usual show. 360 Mailbag is our opportunity to address your feedback in a casual conversation between friends.
Well, thank
first
you.
First up.
Oh, sorry. Oh. I got excited.
I don't blame you, because first up, we've got some Discord feedback from great friend of the show, Shane. Mark, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, Shane's first one was a review of Dita Von Tessa's show at Horseshoe. Oh. His review was, we expected more exotic. I felt it was much, much more a tribute to the Jubilee show. Nothing wrong with that, but we were thinking it was something more like X or Fantasy, and that's not that, in my opinion. The guy-to-girl ratio was about equal in the show. I just didn't expect to see that many men in old traditional Jubilee costumes. Dita is amazing, but she isn't out there as much as I thought or makes smaller appearances. All that said, we enjoyed it overall, just didn't enjoy as much as we would have X or Fantasy.
That's interesting. Because we were all supposed to go. Right. You know, Mark and I, J-Dubs, and your amazing wife.
Yes, all the way back in October.
Yeah, and the show got canceled, pushed back.
Yeah, she pushed back, yeah.
So Mark and I did, though, just buy tickets to go see her in...
Next Saturday.
Oh, is it next Saturday already?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, guess we have plans for next Saturday. So I'll be interested to see, but I'm not overly excited based on Shane's discussion of it.
You're not excited to see a Jubilee-style show?
I guess, because I never saw Jubilee, so I don't really 100% know what style show it is.
Right.
But I'm still looking forward to it. It'll be something different.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, I liken it to going to go see Wayne Newton. Like, I feel like I wasn't really interested in those shows, and then they went away, and I'm like, oh, shit, I never got a chance to see any of them. So now it's
exactly.
Kind of like, okay, now I can at least say that I've seen, you know, a Topless Review in Vegas, or a Follies-type Lido show.
Right. Well, yeah. And I think maybe reading Shane's impression of it can kind of help set your mindset going into it,
mm-hmm.
so that, you know, okay, so I'm not going in expecting an X or a Fantasy. I'm expecting a little more of a stage production.
Yeah, I'm glad he said it, because I was kind of expecting more of the same, too. I was expecting Dita to be heavily featured.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
He did say, because I asked him a couple of kind of clarifying questions when this came up in Discord, and he did say there were indeed boobies.
So, oh, well, good.
So rest assured.
Yes, there will be boobies, just not as much, I guess, booby shaking as you would get in like X or in either the X shows or Fantasy. So, yeah, I'm interested to hear the whatever, you know, impression the two of you get after you guys see it next week. So.
Yeah. And then we also got a review from Shane of a few bars. He writes, "Wife and I checked out the new Pinky Ring Lounge in Bellagio. Very cool place. No phones allowed, so no photos. Drink menu isn't terrible, but more than other places. Had a nice jazz band playing that was fun to listen to. No seats at the bar. It was stand-up only. To sit down looked like you needed to have bottle service."
Wow.
I know, right? That seems unappealing.
Yeah, that doesn't sound great to me.
I also, like, it's a pain in the ass when you go to a concert and they take your phone away from you. Like I can't imagine going to a club and going through the same thing.
Well, and... So that's my whole kind of question with this whole thing is, okay, I get going to see, because I think it was the Bill Burr show that we went to at T-Mobile where they took our phones.
Took the phones, yeah.
Well, and they didn't take them.
Wasn't it T-Mobile? I think it was at Cosmo.
No, it was at T-Mobile.
No, we didn't see Bill Burr at T-Mobile.
Yes, we did.
T-Mobile. No, we
yes,
did
we
not.
Did.
No. I'm telling you, there's
no
way.
No, it wasn't T-Mobile. It was Dolby.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
That's where we saw him, was Dolby.
Okay.
But they, you know, they give you this little plastic bag that you have to put your phone in, and then they seal it. And
yeah, I mean,
in order,
they keep, right. You keep it with you.
You do. You keep it with you. But then you have to stop on the way out to have them unlock this bag so you can get your stuff out of it. They even made me put my Apple Watch in it. Like, I couldn't even leave my Apple Watch on, which I thought was a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah, it's not like you're going to be able to record anything from it.
Right. Well, right. And again, I get, so he's a stand-up, so he's got a whole show. He doesn't want it leaked because everything gets leaked these days, right? So I get that. But what is it about this lounge that you can't take photos?
Well, I think it's all part of the prestige, or prestige. Yes, thank you. That I think that's really what it is they're just trying to make it mysterious.
Okay.
I don't know.
I hear that they don't take cell phones away at this place, and they're not locking it up. They're just really kind of explaining that to you as you go in,
right?
And probably telling you, hey, you know, we will ask you to leave if we see you take your phone out or something like that.
Oh.
Wow.
I find that strange, and I find the whole can't get a seat unless there's, you know, bottle service range. Because I've seen that in, I've been in a couple clubs. This old man's been in a couple clubs in Vegas. I've seen that at clubs, but this is like a lounge in the center of the casino. So that seems really odd to me. I don't know.
No, it is.
It's not encouraging me to want to go.
No, agree.
And the funny thing is, so if they don't actually take your phone and lock it up, out of force of habit, I would just be randomly pulling out my phone and looking at something, not necessarily taking pictures, but I mean, it may be that some people would consider it rude, but hell, we do that. We go out to dinner, and my phone's there, and every so often you're just kind of like, yeah, okay, what's going on, you know? Yeah. But
he also wrote about the barbershop speakeasy in Cosmo. Both Thursday and Friday evenings they went. Early evening, because they're old and they won't stay up past 10:30 to see a band. I highly recommend this place. Tony, the bartender there, is the bartender there, and he designed the menu. He has some amazing drinks, and service at the bar was great. Tony spent a lot of time just chatting, as well as, even though he was very busy.
You know,
we've been in there once.
Yeah, a while ago.
Like right after it opened.
Yeah, and I will say this: Shane and his wife are amazing at chatting up bartenders. They had a regular bartender at the old Bird Bar.
Oh, that's right.
That every time they're in town, they go see him and, you know, catch up and life stories and all this. So they're really good at that.
Right.
Which is fun, because then you kind of get some inside. Oh, you know what we need to do? We need to get him starting about asking for cocktail recipes.
There you go.
Since he's chatting up the bartenders, he needs to get some more source material for Tony.
There you go.
So one more reason for the listeners to get on Discord if you haven't yet. Shane posted, first of all these messages on there, but second, a cool picture of a drink that he got there at the barbershop speakeasy, which has a guitar-shaped piece of ice. So, like, the body of the guitar is the ice, and it's some kind of flavored ice, and then the neck is, like, the stir stick. It's really cool looking. So get on Discord if you want to see that picture.
Was that in the cocktails thread?
It is in the trip reports.
In the trip reports. Okay.
Yes.
See, there's so many threads. It's like where, and so many things could apply to different threads, so it's like, wait, which one am I going to? All right.
And then, Karen, I think you're going to share with us an email from listener David Gill.
Yes. So David writes, I have been listening for more than a year and love, love, love your show.
Aw, thank you.
The blend of historical knowledge makes it so much easier to digest Vegas, which feels overwhelming but really isn't, thanks to your podcast.
Aw, thank you.
You just made Mark's day.
Right?
That's right.
On the most recent episode, you mentioned doing a speakeasy tour, and I wanted to give my quick and dirty review because my friends and I just completed our own version.
Oh.
My liver may never recover. And for the record, I think we've had this email for a couple weeks, so I apologize it wasn't the most recent episode, but on a recent episode, yes, we did kind of kick around the idea of doing this. As background, four of us 40-something college friends were in town to run the rock and roll half. Sorry for the strip closers. Oh, that's okay. We just avoid it completely.
Yeah.
We just don't go down. So Friday the 23rd to Monday the 26th. They let me be cruise director, so I went hard with the speakeasies, and that was as much fun as I have had in Vegas.
Nice.
We were all at Vidara, so the focus was Center Strip. We hit, I don't know if this means 5 out of 6 or they hit 5 to 6.
5 or 6, I think, is what it is.
5 or 6. Okay, over the weekend. Sorry, I didn't read ahead, which would probably explain it, so sorry about that. Depending on your definition, so I'm going to simply rank the experiences.
So I want to jump in here because I have run the Rock and Roll Half Marathon. And out of several marathons I've run, it's pretty simple. Like, it's a flat course. But still, you're running 13 miles. And in that same weekend, we're going to hit 5 or 6 VKs. Can there be a more Vegas story than that?
Right. Well,
I'm already impressed. Well, yes, it happens on. That's right. It does happen on Sunday.
So they would have been hitting these prior to running the race.
Yeah.
And then leaving on Monday. Oh, good Lord.
Right. I remember the night before, because the race. So for those of you non-runners or both of you who have never run this race happens on Sunday evening. Mm-hmm. Most long races happen in the morning. Vegas, it just nobody wants to get up in the morning, so they don't do that race in the morning. And plus, you can run when the lights are on.
Exactly, you want to run when the lights are on.
Yeah, and so when I did mine, I only like had a beer or two the night before because I wanted to be ready for my race. So I really want to know how this story plays out. and I'm already, like I said, I'm already kind of impressed with these guys. So,
and they're 40 somethings, which we know how tough start getting in your 40 somethings.
Yes.
All right, first up, not rated. Barbershop and Beauty in Essex were both closed for private events. I don't know that Beauty in Essex is considered a speakeasy.
I thought they had one.
Well, no, the whole restaurant.
It was like a speakeasy restaurant.
The whole restaurant's a speakeasy.
Oh, okay.
Because you walk into the pawn shop area, and then you go through the back door, and then you're in the bar, and then
I guess that would still qualify. I mean, you got a false front.
No, I guess. It's just, I always think of speakeasies as being smaller.
Right.
Not massive, but okay. So they were both closed for private events. Also, the Verbena at Chandelier Bar has been the secret drink forever, but still so good, especially after the race. We're going to have to agree to disagree on that one. Never again. Absolutely never again. The Library at Park, great dinner place, but not a speakeasy. Just a similar hidden vibe.
Okay.
All right, number 6, Ghost Donkey at Cosmo. OG, very small, maybe 20 seats, mezcal and nachos. Just nice, but not a must-do.
Have we done that?
I have. I don't think you have. You're not a big tequila drinker.
No.
I have wanted to for a long time.
It's really cute. I mean, it's very tiny. I've never had food there, I don't think. I've just gone in to get cocktails, but the cocktails have been good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like mezcal and nachos, like, I don't know, that's just... because it's Sunday afternoon right now, I'm kind of vibing that. So.
Well, and not everybody is a fan of mezcal because it's very smoky.
Right.
Considering how much smoking you do, Josh, I'm guessing that would be right up your alley. And by smoking, I mean smoking meats and cheeses and
that's true.
All of that. So
yeah.
No, it's a fun little spot. And for those that don't know, it's in the middle of Block 16. There's a door. Like way towards the back that just has a picture of a donkey on the front of it, and head on right in.
That's it.
Right there.
Yeah.
Number 5, Ski Lodge at Cosmo. I had been once before, and it is a super fun vibe, building on that Spiegelworld charm. Vegas Après Ski. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Après Ski is like a bar that you go to after skiing.
Oh,
okay. So have a couple of cocktails after spending the
day. We know those very well.
I just called that a bar. I didn't realize it had a name.
Right? Let's go to a special name either. But
yeah, we just got off the mountain. Let's go to the nearest bar.
Where do they have alcohol? I miss OPM. There is clearly a bit of transition as MGM takes over Cosmo. And I think given MGM's relationship with Cirque, there isn't room for an OPM / Super Freako and maybe even Ski Lodge long term.
Hmm.
Wait of about 10 minutes on Friday at 11:30. We did a 4-person shot ski delivered by a ski bunny server with banging drums.
Okay, well, I don't know if we need that.
Okay, that sent Mark's anxiety level right through.
Right.
Josh, have you ever done a ski shot?
I have, back when I used to work at a ski resort and I was doing an après ski.
There you go.
That was like 20-some years ago. I just wonder, can they set it up so like, everyone has a different drink, because I can't imagine, you know, like, I love you guys, but I can't imagine like the three of us plus Mrs. J Dubs agreeing on what we're gonna shoot.
Wonder, right?
Well, Mark and I would agree. because there's really only one thing that we ever do shots of.
Yeah.
Which is Patron Silver.
Right.
Okay.
But do they all have to be the same?
Don't know. But they all have to tip, and you have to drink at the same rate.
Right. Oh, yeah, you do. Yes, you do. Let's see. Tried to order pizza on menu from Super Frico and was told kitchen was closed, but then joked with a manager about it and was told, well, that isn't right.
Oh, jeez.
And lo and behold, pizza appeared along with a side of guilt because I know the back of the house probably got a dressing down. Absolutely, we'll go back because the vibe is very fun. Hopefully, pizza had minimal spit on it.
Nice.
Yeah. Oof.
I don't remember where the ski lounge was.
It's right there next to Super Frico.
We went in there after we saw Opium. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, and that's the one where the guy with the bunny head was walking behind you, and I was just shaking my head at him like, no, you need to just move on. Don't stop.
Yes, I do recall that. I do remember that.
I would go there again. I always want to go there like in the summer so it feels cool.
Yeah, like a different vibe.
Yeah.
Number four, Vanderpump at Paris. Not a speakeasy, but for a Bravo mark like me and the fantastic cocktail vibe, it is close. I also got the lowdown from the servers on all the Bravo celebs, plus they have a flashy drink complete with a tiara, so I count it as a win. You know, we ate there once.
At Vanderpump?
Yeah, with Alistair.
I was a part of this?
Yes, you were.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And the cocktails were the worst part about everything we got. The food was really good. But the cocktails, and that's what they're known for. But they were just like...
No, I think I remember this now.
It's all slowly coming back to you. Right. You were just mad that you were inside a Vanderpump establishment.
Pretty much. That was it.
That has what has prevented me from entering, too. It's just I can't feed into the reality TV machine.
Right. So here, I have to admit this, and I'm ashamed of myself even saying it. There was a cheating scandal related to the Vanderpump Rules show, what, a year and a half ago maybe? And it was everywhere. I mean, people were talking about the cheating scandal and how bad it was, and so I was like, all right. So I watched the reunion show where they went through it, and now I am fascinated with these people. It is so, I know, and I'm ashamed of myself for it, but it's unbelievable, and the incestuousness of all their relationships is insane. Like, everybody's dated or kissed or slept with or it's absolutely insane.
Heard from people who work at restaurants that that's restaurant culture, like everyone's doing everybody. So that doesn't surprise me. I do have a question for David. Once you got the tiara, did you choose to wear it when you ran the race?
Right. Oh, you absolutely should have.
Right.
That just fits in with whatever the theming is.
Yeah.
Number three, the vault at Bellagio.
Oh.
This was our big Saturday place at 9 p.m. Made a reservation, wore jackets, looked like we were headed out for a low-rent remake of The Hangover.
Nice.
Very cool place with just a door with a small lighting symbol hidden between blackjack tables near the cashier's cage at Bellagio. Dark and golden decor with seating for about 35 to 40. Servers all attractive and knowledgeable about obscure cocktails. They specialize in vintage spirits. DJ spinning lo-fi hip-hop so you could still talk, but also helped with the vibe.
Ooh.
Light appetizers, house specialty shot, and dessert bite rounded out the experience and were included if you ordered a drink. Wait, what? Seriously? You got light appetizers, a house specialty shot, and a dessert bite if you ordered a drink.
Okay. So this place is kind of famous for expensive drinks, which I think David's going to get into in a moment.
Oh, but yeah.
If you had a cocktail and you got light appetizers and a specialty shot and a dessert bite, might make sense for a drink.
Some of these drink prices might make a little more sense then.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
They have some food options like caviar or truffle fries. Oh, caviar. I'm all about caviar right now.
Yeah.
But the cocktails lead. Expensive drinks is an understatement, but I knew going in at $50 to $150 per for their signature drinks.
There's just not a drink on this planet that I'm spending that kind of money on.
But to Josh's point, if it's a $50 drink and I get a light appetizer, another shot,
fair enough,
and a dessert round for $50?
I get your point. I still, it's especially if you're coming in telling me that I'm paying that for a drink.
Well, which I think we talked about when this first came out, because they were advertising like the cheapest specialty cocktail was $50, and we were like, what the hell?
Right.
But I don't think they were advertising that you got, you know, the food and the snacks along with it.
No, I don't think so.
Worth it for the experience, especially if you love high-end cocktails. I would do it again with the right group. Best part was a server said to go to Pinky Ring after.
Oh.
All right, we got a recommendation then. Number two, Easy's at Aria. We went here to celebrate finishing the race on Sunday, so arrived 9-ish without a reservation.
I'm sorry, I'm just laughing at, okay, finished running a race, and now we're going to go to a speakeasy.
Right.
Well, don't they say that like a beer is a really great thing to drink after a race?
A beer actually is a really good recovery drink because of not only is it kind of hydrating you, but also there's the other nutrients in there that, that you can help restore. But that's a beer? Right. Like cocktails and stuff, don't know that I would
tell. Whole nother story.
Yeah.
It's in the new food court called Proper Eats on the second floor of Aria. It's a door next to the counter at Easy's Coffee and Donuts. Had to commit to a reasonable table minimum of $150 for four of us to get a table without a reservation. This place was simply fantastic, and I liked it better than the Vault.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been number one on almost any other trip to Vegas. Similar scale as the Vault, but with a small stage. Callie Tucker was the lounge singer. She was very good. Does great covers on requests from audience like Fleetwood Mac to even some rap. Goes out into the audience to dance with people and interacts with the crowd. Often very funny. I got bumped to front table when it opened up. She sang until closing at 1.
Wow.
Drinks were more whimsical than Vault with similar price point. Holy shit.
Oof.
Those drinks are $50 a piece too? That doesn't sound like I want to go there.
Nah.
Highlight was a smoking mushroom gin drink, which sounds terrible, but was divine and served with dry ice and presented as a forest glade covered in fog. The only food was caviar or donuts from up front. This place is a must-do for me in Vegas now.
Wow.
So I have to admit that I did read David's email earlier because we were going to have it on an earlier show. We weren't able to have it.
Yeah.
And reading this take on Easy's made it almost immediate, like in the next trip or two, I have to check this place out, because from what he describes here, it seems to me like the vibe I've always looked for in Vegas, like the lounge singer and I mean, getting bumped to the front, and like it just seems like a really cool place. Price point on the drinks is a little frightening for me, but I think that this would be right up Mrs. J-Dub's avenue as well. So,
If he said they had to agree to $150 table minimum for four people, if the drinks are the same price as are at the Vault, you more than have that covered if everybody gets one drink.
Yep.
That's a drink a person right there, easily. Yeah. So, and that's only because they didn't have a reservation.
Right.
So, I mean, I could see myself grabbing a reservation for after dinner and us doing that. So,
but I like the fact that they gave him that option, because a lot of times at places like that, if you don't have a reservation, you're just not getting in. The fact that they, I love, people that are listening can't see this, but Josh just flipped off the camera, which was awesome. Yeah.
Fuck you, you're not coming in.
Right. Yeah. So I like that was an option, that they said, well, you don't have a reservation, but if you will agree to this, then we can get you a table. Which I like that. That seems to be a little more, you know, customer friendly.
Right. And then the fact that they moved them up once a front table opened up.
Yeah.
Like, how cool is that?
Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just from this little paragraph that David put here, I'm checking this place out soon.
Yeah. All right. So maybe they're moving to the top of the list, or towards the front of the list anyway.
All right.
Number one, Pinky Ring at Bellagio.
Wow.
This is not a true speakeasy, but the new jazzy-ish lounge. These are words I'm having trouble saying. Jazz lounge curated by Bruno Mars. No camera rule, as you mentioned, but they don't ask you to lock it up. Just can't have them out or security comes over.
Okay.
So kind of a secret. I had to wait about 10 minutes on Saturday at 11:30-ish to get in. They closed the line, but I mentioned that the Vault server said we had to come over tonight. So the doorman said, fine, come on in. And they closed the line behind us.
So now you know that if you are having trouble getting into Pinky Ring and say, well, someone over in that bar said I needed to come over tonight.
Right.
And you're good.
There's your secret.
Room was packed at about 200 to 250. Table minimums were 2,000.
Jeez.
Doorman said for context, but we did not pay a cover charge or anything to order at the bar. Hooligans, the house band, was killing it with funky jazz. Grabbed drinks at the bar, solid and a deal at $25, and stood toward the back. Security guy comes up and asks us to move. We turned around and we were blocking Bruno Mars' view from his booth.
Oh my gosh.
About 5 minutes later, Bruno walks up and starts playing with the band.
Yeah.
An hour-long set, simply fantastic experience, the best time in Vegas in a while, so I had to rank number one.
Nice.
Wow. So you understand, David, what has happened here is now your friends will always expect you to plan.
Right?
And expect you to deliver unique, amazing experiences like this that you could never plan. So good luck, buddy.
And, you know, the chance that Bruno's going to be there right. the next time you go in is right. probably slim yeah. and none. It probably had it had to do with the fact that the race was going on that weekend, and so it was busy around town and everything else. But
yeah.
Anyway. So David continues. I still have a few I want to try next time. The Lock at Horseshoe. The aforementioned barbershop at Cosmo. The Parlor at Bavette's in Park. The Laundry Room in downtown. A at Cosmo. Prohibition Bar I've done before, and it's fun, but not as fun as the others on this list.
Mm. Agreed.
Any review of those would be great to hear about.
We've done Prohibition Bar. I like it.
I love Prohibition Bar, yeah. but I think it also has to do just because it's part of the Mob Museum.
Well, and the theatricality with the drinks.
Well, the Prohibition Bar is the one at Mandalay Shops or Shops at Mandalay.
Oh, that's what you're talking about. Because yeah. they also call the...
oh, that's right. The one.
Oh, they call it the speakeasy.
Underground. No, it's the Underground, isn't it?
The Underground?
That's what you told me the other day when I asked you.
I think so.
I think it's the Underground. So, yeah, I was thinking the wrong one.
Yeah.
I will say that A is... It's a restaurant, so I don't know that I would call it a speakeasy. You're not going to be able to just walk in. You're going to need a reservation, and you're getting the whole nine-course meal, whatever it is. So, which I highly encourage. If you're into food and you like trying new things, I would put that on your bucket list of places that you need to go.
Mm.
The Lock we haven't been to.
Done that.
You have?
Yeah.
What do you think?
So I liked it. I think it's one of those kind of... Mrs. J. Dubs and I probably feel that it's kind of one and done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's one of those places where you fill out a little thing and you talk about what you like and what you don't like, and then the mixologist kind of creates something for you.
Oh, that's cool.
And if I remember right, there was a couple, you know, rounds or courses of drinks based on what we put down. Pretty cool, but you know, it didn't blow me away. Like, you know, when I see what David has to say about the speakeasy donut place, like, there's other stuff to do in Vegas. I just don't, the Lock didn't blow me away enough to want to go back there.
So we had drinks in, not in the speakeasy, but in the Cabinet of Curiosities, which is this bar out front. I had one of the worst cocktails I'd ever had.
Oh.
So we went at, around Halloween. And so the mixologist wanted a black drink. And I completely forget what was in this because I blocked it out. But it looked like a black martini kind of cocktail thing. And whatever it tasted like was really bad. And the waitress kind of came over and she's like, yeah, it's not good, is it? And I was like, no, it's really not. And she's like, don't worry about it, I'll get you something else. So they swapped it out. But okay. she was telling us how the mixologist just really wanted a black drink for Halloween, and unfortunately,
became
the things
fixated on the color.
That color don't necessarily have the right flavor. But so the waitstaff was great; like, she switched it out and got me something else,
That's
so
right.
it was all good. We've done the barbershop; we talked about that earlier. I've heard of the Laundry Room, but I don't even know where it is.
I don't remember either.
I know it's downtown, but I don't know.
I want to say it's in Fremont East.
Which would make sense.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. I cannot remember what it's attached to, but I know.
Oh,
that.
Wait, the place where we met Ben and Kelly for cocktails, isn't it next to that? Like, it's out the door and around the corner.
I don't remember.
I'm looking it up.
And now I don't even remember the place where we met them for cocktails.
it's in Commonwealth.
Commonwealth. Yes.
There you go.
Yes. So. All right, so David wraps it up here and says, love the podcast, please keep it up, and wanted to let you know your speakeasy tour was a great idea. Thank you.
Oh, that was just a throwaway idea.
I was going to say that. I mean, apparently
I didn't expect to inspire this. This
well,
is awesome.
I think he already came up with it because he said he we mentioned it on the last podcast and he's like, oh, hey, we just did one. So right. I think that, you know, I don't think we came up with the idea.
Your minds think alike.
We might have. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, thank you, David. I think that was awesome that you kind of jumped on the grenade for the podcast and checked everything out for us. And I mean, gave me some awesome places now that I want to check out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Up next, we have an email from Travis. Is it Atherton or Atherton? I think you guys know Travis.
I think it's Atherton.
I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
All right. Well, we got an email from Travis. And it starts with, hello, Karen, Mark, and best of all, Tony, and fuckface Josh. Just wanted to send in my hopefully brief enough trip report that Tony doesn't have to do much editing trip report.
Which is part of the reason,
inspiration of this entire segment.
Exactly. Because Tony, oh my God, the last one that Avery sent in, Tony just, because Avery's a great writer. It was definitely a very long report.
He took a machete to it.
But yeah, he just cut that thing down to next to nothing. So much so that
we went here, we liked it.
Well, it's so much so that Tony said, look, okay, post the trip report someplace else. We'll link to it. I'm so sorry. But, yeah, so Tony, once we gave him the little editing button, he went a little happy with it on some of them. So part of the reason why we're doing this now.
All right. Travis says, the girlfriend and I flew in Thursday night for 5 nights comped at Excalibur. Not my preferred place, but the price was right. Yeah.
Right.
Hey, you stayed at the castle for free, buddy.
That's right.
Did a bit of gambling, then off to bed. MGM has decided to go the cheap route with refillable soaps and shampoo, which I guess is to be expected with MGM properties.
That's disappointing. I didn't know that.
Let's see. We were just at Mandalay Bay. And I'm trying to think if they had... Yes, even at Mandalay Bay, they have refillable soaps.
Most of them do, and I think this was a... Honestly, I think this was a COVID thing.
Okay.
Because they couldn't leave, like, the individual bottles... When you changed out guests, it's like before, if they hadn't been open or whatever, you could just leave them there. Okay. With COVID, you couldn't. They had to take them out and swap them out. And so I think they went to these, you know, the dispensers on the wall or whatever the hell it is, to prevent. I mean, and honestly, it saves them money.
Right, but that's sad at Mandalay Bay to see that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Friday, we started by heading to Tropicana for some casino chips and breakfast. Got there too early for table games, so left to spread my gambling donations down the strip. Watched a guy fall backwards down the escalator and not spill a drop of beer at 9:30 a.m.
Wow.
Which is always entertaining, and I might add impressive.
And
yes, that's a
my
skill.
Exact thought. That's holy cow, dude.
I found out that Nitro Cross, I don't know what Nitro Cross is, Nitro Cross had an event in the parking lot behind Planet Hollywood.
Yeah, we reported on it on the show.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, for Planet Hollywood. They did a...
Aren't they like dirt bikes?
Right, right. Yeah. What kind of motocross stuff.
Okay. Tickets were $30 plus fees to stay on ground level on one corner of the track, but standing on the top level of the parking garage was free. Man, after my own heart. Later, we headed to Fountain Blue and had dinner at the tavern. Yeah, you had to save the money to have dinner at the tavern.
There you go.
Food and service were amazing. I included my full write-up on that at the end.
Oh, I hope you got the nachos.
I know.
Right.
Saturday, we got up way too early and decided to use the resort credit at the buffet for breakfast. $41 each for breakfast buffet is ridiculous and not even close to worth it.
Mm. At Excalibur?
Yeah, that's...
Yikes.
Yeah.
Later, we went back to Tropicana and got some chips and found the most amazing dealer for blackjack ever. Oh, who's that dealer? I'd like to go. Oh,
well, no, you
too
can't.
Late. Too soon.
I've never seen so many six card 21s in my life. Finally, it was my time for the NRL, the National Rugby League games at Allegiant Stadium.
I heard that was in town. I mean, rugby's actually... I did learn about rugby once on a work trip. I had some Irish folks and some New Zealand folks around me that educated me. It's actually a really fascinating game to watch.
Yeah.
He says, our taxi driver didn't have the sense or energy to drive around the block, so he dropped us off at Mandalay Bay.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
The 70-mile-an-hour-plus wind gusts and rain made the walk that much more fun. Oh, man.
Oh, that was that weekend.
Right.
That the games were great. The stadium was amazing, and the crowd was a lot of fun.
Well, good. At least you had fun at the games, even though getting there was not
right.
thrilling.
Sunday, we lounged around before having brunch at Alexa's at Paris. I like Alexa's, but man, is it loud in there. That's my old man side coming out again. It's just like,
well, they charge a CNF fee, so yeah, we've never been inside.
Yeah.
I had the meat lover's omelet and potatoes. She ordered the brioche French toast and bottomless mimosas. Both were really good. Service was great, as kept her glass from getting half empty.
Wow, that sounds dangerous.
Yeah. From there, we went down to Venetian for some gambling, over to Mirage for another goodbye lap, and then to Bellagio Conservatory, which happened to be in the middle of changing over. Mm. I always find that fascinating watching them do that.
And they do it so fast.
Yeah.
They literally change it over within like a week, which is amazing.
I did a stay there once where we started with one setup and ended
right
before they opened the next setup. Yeah.
It's crazy.
So, yeah.
We stopped at Aria and got Moneyline Pizza. The pizza was great. I just wish she would have said something when I ordered two garlic knots to find out they were about 10 dinner roll size knots per order instead of two big ones like
oh,
I was.
Jesus.
See, you want carbs, buddy? You're getting carbs,
right?
They have a responsibility to say something like that.
Right.
Like, if you're ordering two orders of garlic knots, they're like, well, hold on. You realize that each order has 10 in them, right?
Right.
No, but they just don't. They're just like, yeah, okay. You want 20 of them? Sure, here you go. Bullshit.
Travis goes on to say, needless to say, neither of our breaths were kissably fresh afterwards. Yes, but if it's you and your significant other, it cancels it out.
It does.
There it is. Okay. That's right.
If my breath is already garlicky and his breath is garlicky, it's not going to taste any different to either one of us.
Difference.
Did a bit more gambling down the strip to end the night. Monday, we got up and went to breakfast at the coffee shop before heading out. Went to the Strat. Man, this guy's everywhere. He's not wasting time.
I know. I'm impressed.
Went to the Strat to grab some chips and go to the observation deck. From there, we did a little shopping and back to the room to pack. We went to No Pants for dinner.
Really?
The burgers there are so good. I've wanted to check this place out. So for the listeners, No Pants is kind of a pop-up burger place that opened, I think, last summer back by Absinthe.
It's inside the Absinthe courtyard.
Yeah.
Which anybody can go in the courtyard, so it's
that's right.
I knew this sounded familiar.
So he says the burgers are good. So again, another reason for me to try to check this out. Quick stop at Cosmopolitan, then back to Excalibur's for some more gambling to end the trip before an early flight home.
Nice.
That sounds like a busy trip.
I know, right? Yeah. Though that's the way you do Vegas. You're all over the place.
But it sounds like he did he got to Tropicana to get some chips before it closed. He went to the rugby match, which obviously he's a fan and wanted to do that.
Right.
You know, he it sounds like he hit a lot of things that.
Yeah, this is a man with a plan. This is a man who, he didn't accidentally end up at these places. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah. All right. So Travis now has a Fountain Blue specific review here. He says, for a quick background, my first trip to Las Vegas was January of 2007, just before they began construction. After watching them build and stall and build and stall on it for 17 years, I was excited to finally get inside of it. On first sight, the casino is beautiful. It is simple and elegant without throwing the luxury in your face. Mm. They tier matched me from MGM Pearl to their silver level, which got us a $100 dining credit.
Nice.
After wandering around for a while, we decided to go to the tavern for dinner. We started with the crab cake and a couple drinks that I cannot remember the names of, but were really good. She ordered the roasted salmon and potato puree, which was amazing. I ordered the beef short rib and shoestring fries that were perfect. Mm. After dinner, we did some more wandering and tried to talk security into letting me on the escalator that seemed to go up four stories with no luck. I wanted to ride that thing, too. It was closed when I was there as well.
Where does it go to?
I think it goes to the pool deck.
I thought so.
Right. So the pool deck wouldn't have been open. So that's probably
kind
why they wouldn't
let like
them up it.
Stadium Swim, right? Where you just want to ride that.
I don't.
Escalator.
No. That's one of the most difficult. Coming down on that. I actually had to stand facing backwards.
Lean back.
No, I had to turn around and face. So I was facing backwards while we were heading down because I could not like I probably would have, you know, gotten dizzy and tumbled down the escalator, which actually would have been a nice little lawsuit probably, but yeah, no, can't. That's like horrifying for some of us.
It says, four-story elevator, got to be some kind of world record. A bit more wandering around and then back to our hotel for the night. I'm hoping to stay here in the future if they come down from $300 a night.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a long cry from 4 or 5 nights comped at Excalibur.
Right.
We didn't try the center bar or any other sidebar this trip. Both looked very nice. We just weren't feeling like a drink right then.
Yeah.
Besides, Travis.
Awesome. That was a good one, Travis.
Yeah, thank you.
And we did. We got cocktails at the Blue Bar, which I think is the one in the center that he's talking about. And they were really good. So
yeah,
it is a it's
a nice space. It reminds me of Chandelier Bar when they first opened. They didn't have video poker. It's like, what are you doing?
The only place in there that has video poker is the tavern.
Right.
Yeah.
Sports bar.
Yeah.
It's weird.
That's it. They'll learn eventually that, hey, you might want to start putting those in.
Everyone does.
All right, up next we have an email from Kevin McClure.
We do. So Kevin writes, Dear Karen, Mark, and Tony, ladies first. Thank you, Kevin. I knew I liked you for a reason. My wife and I came to Las Vegas from the 17th to the 21st of March. I had some comp nights at Cosmo, and as always... Huh?
I said nice. You get comp rooms at Cosmo.
I know, right? And as always, the room was excellent. We had a cine setter view from the Chelsea Tower this time, which was kind of loud from the nightclub below, but otherwise a nice view. I'll keep this quick since I can get long worded, and I already told you guys most of what we did. From a gambling standpoint, we won big, lost big, came home with a little bit left in my bankroll in my pocket. Nice. And a $40 Tito from Fountain Blue. Overall, we had a decent trip from that standpoint. Sunday, St. Patrick's Day, we went to Fremont with an old friend of mine, did a pub crawl, and just kind of people watched. It was predictably a zoo down there, but a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. St. Patrick's Day in Vegas is something else.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And especially on Fremont, oh, even better.
Yeah.
I told you back in November that I wanted to try Pizza Rock again, this time sober, to verify the goodness of it. We ate there again, but I am still unable to verify. So I guess we'll have to go back on another trip. Well, it sounds like it was still good the second time. Just right. can't do the verification yet.
Yeah.
It is really good drunk food. Like, I'll give him that. So, yeah.
It's really good sober food.
But yeah. It's really good drunk food, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Around 8 p.m., we went to the Times Square Bar in New York, New York, to see the Dueling Piano Show that was some lady from TikTok that my wife likes. I can't remember her or the other man's name, but they were both very talented and knew a range of songs to play, including The Killers and Tupac.
That's eclectic.
I do love Dueling Pianos. We haven't
been
to a good one
in a
minute, but they are a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Monday was spent casino crawling and then enjoying a great dinner at Amalfi's with new friends. Hey, guess who those new friends were? We all went to the Monday's Dark Show afterwards, and it was a good time as usual. To answer the question Tony had, the tickets are either $20, $30, or $50, depending on the type of seat and proximity to the stage. The table seats we had were $30 each. The charity that night was the Collaboration Center, which focuses on folks living with developmental and physical disabilities. As the father of a severely developmentally disabled child, Lindsay and I were very happy that it was the charity of the night. Aww. And are looking to tour the campus the next time we're in Las Vegas.
That's cool.
That is very cool.
So, I don't think I realized they had that connection with it.
I didn't either.
I was trying to look online. No, I think I was looking for the themes. Like, I couldn't find, like, what themes the nights are, because every night is a theme of something.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering if the charities are listed. That's very interesting. Anyway, Kevin continues. Lindsay bought a raffle ticket because she's always wanted to win the, quote, treasure box, but secretly doesn't want to win because the winner gets pulled up on stage for a quick interview.
Oh, jeez.
The host, Mark Chinook, then sings an improv song about the winner. So, of course... This time she won. She powered through the anxiety and embarrassment, and like any loving husband would, I recorded the entire thing.
Nice.
That was so funny. Oh, I'm so excited that she won. highlights on Tuesday were Play Playground.
Oh.
Last trip to Tropicana.
Yeah.
And the VGK hockey game.
That's a hell of a day right there.
Playground is now 21 plus all the time, apparently. And we enjoyed that aspect.
Yeah.
I really do, too. I'm kind of glad they went that way because those poor bartenders, especially on the weekends.
Oh, yeah.
To have to, number one, they're trying to keep up with drinks. But then number two, trying to figure out, do I need to ID this person? Do I not? Do I whatever? Right. So, yeah, it's crazy. The human dartboard Velcro thingy was made even more fun by the drinks we've been consuming all day. And since the Velcro was brand new that day, it was awesome to watch people struggle with. That was not working the day that we went. I do want to go back and try that just because I think it'd be fun.
Yeah.
The Golden Knights lost, but we still had fun attending the pregame festivities and the arena itself for the first time.
Yeah, it's definitely a first-time thing. I get impatient when it comes to professional sporting events at times, like if the national anthem runs on too long or if the pregame is like, okay, I've seen this, let's move it along. Like I was mocking the other day the pregame announcements, like on, starting at the shooting guard. I'm like, just move it along. Can we move it along?
I know. I'm just like, they do that. They introduce the starting lineup. It's five people per team.
I don't know. I get anxious. I came to watch a game. All right, where's the game? Play the game.
But I will say this, that all the festivities, if nobody's ever been to a Knights game, all the festivities that go around it.
It's really cool.
It's very engaging. It's never.
Theatrical.
And we should say, if we did mention that this Mark Schnook that was the host for the Monday's Dark is the voice of the Knights.
Right.
Yes.
The gentleman that sings the national anthem, whose name I should know. I know they call him Golden Pipes. I don't remember his name. He's
Carnell
one of the...
Johnson, I want to say.
Okay. He's one of the backup, quote-unquote, backup singers at Monday's Dark. And there's another... she's another hype woman for the Knights. You see her, talking to people in the crowd and that kind of stuff, doing trivia events, but she's one of the other backup singers.
Okay.
So it's this group of people that are very focused on, they're all ingrained in the Knights, and they're all part of this Monday's Dark thing, which is...
Right.
Super, I would encourage anybody...
See, and I know that all those sports teams do that. Like, they encourage people to go out there and do charity work, and it's really cool that this is the kind of charity work that they get to do.
Oh, yeah. And it's their own thing. I mean, they've... And they reach out. What's really cool about it, too, in Vegas is they reach out to local entertainers. So we know Vegas has got some of the most amazing entertainers anywhere. And they're able to get these people to come in and do. It's really cool. I can't wait. We're excited. We've got tickets to go again in June with our friends Ben and Kelly. And I'm so looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And I'll also say, if you have never seen a Vegas Golden Knights game and you have the slightest interest in professional sports or hockey, go. But it might ruin you for other hockey games elsewhere.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I've never seen the theatricality in any other place.
Nope. And some of it's a little crazy. I'm sorry, a lot of the pregame stuff where they have the Knight come out fighting the evil wizard and all of that, I'm a little,
It's so over the top, it's amazingly good.
Right.
It's like, this is super cheesy, but you'll never see anything like it anywhere else.
Right, well, and I'm sure a lot of it is for the kids. I know, because there's a huge kid attendance aspect to this that, I think they're playing into. But
I think the NHL is very clever about moving into markets that don't have any professional sports, because then it endears the audience to people.
Well, we've said this before. Yes, we have the Raiders. There is not a connection to the city.
No, it's not the same.
With the Raiders like there is with the Knights.
No.
And this...
It's almost like we built a stadium, and with the stadium came a team. And like, oh, okay, we'll take the team.
Yeah, because they did. They built T-Mobile before they were awarded the Knights, which is crazy if you think about it.
Right,
yeah.
Right. I mean, granted...
No, I was making the joke that that's what we did for Allegiant. Like, we need a stadium. We need a stadium in Vegas. Well, you get a football team with it. I'm like, all right, fine. We'll take the football team. Did you lose your spot?
Oh, was that me? Shit, why did I think Josh was doing this? I'm so sorry. And then I accidentally closed it out, and now I have to scroll
Wednesday. You want me to jump in?
Through. No. Hold on. The Fountain Blue, we got here. Wednesday, we ate breakfast at Mon Ami Gabi as usual and decided to check out Fountain Blue. Spent a little time walking around and checking the place out. Got tier matched from Identity Gold, albeit just FB's second tier, but got $100 dining credit while doing so.
Nice.
It's nice to hear that they are They are tier matching because they weren't for a minute there.
Yeah.
It's nice, but we really didn't care for the vibe so much.
Okay.
Hard to put my finger on it, but it just felt empty and kind of boring, even for 10 a.m. Okay, well, 10 a.m. on a Wednesday might be why it's
I know what they're talking about, though. Like, going into any new casino, there's definitely a vibe to it. And I feel a vibe in Fountain Blue. I don't understand their direction. Like at least with Resorts World, they were very clear, like, we're going for entertainment. This is what we're going to try and do. We're pulling all the big names in here, and that'll pull you down to us. I don't understand what Fountain Blue's... It's almost like they opened and they expected Wynn's people to just leave Wynn and Encore and come hang out at their place.
With the number of executives that they've let go, I think that Fountain Blue doesn't understand Fountain Blue.
Yeah.
Either.
Yeah. No, they're having that. But I agree with him as far as the vibe, because we walked in there and I was just like... Yeah,
I remember that. I was bummed because I'm like, I felt a vibe, and you were like, "Yeah, I don't get it."
No, I mean, I want them to do well. Please don't get me wrong.
Of course,
I think they just need to figure out who they are and how they can attract people. And some of this, like we were talking about in the show, some of these random concerts and stuff that they're pulling in, I just don't. I don't know.
It's a direction. I just don't understand what it is.
Is it a direction, or are they just walking in a big old circle?
I don't know.
We went back to Fremont and spent the day walking, people watching, and gambling. I had a hot dog and a PBR at Downtown Grand for $2.
Ugh.
Even $2 is too much to pay for a PBR.
Yeah.
While having a blast at the roulette table. Later, I got an American Coney dog for about $5. Nothing wrong with the Coney dog, but I'll take the $2 deal all day long in the future.
Nice.
I can't believe you had two hot dogs in a day. That's...
Right. You know what? I can empathize with this because like there are just times where you're like, I know I have to eat and I don't care what I have to eat. So what is the thing that I can grab immediately and just shut down my mouth?
Absolutely. Once a day? Sure. Two hot dogs a day? That's too much.
Maybe he's on a heater.
We went back to Fountain Blue to use our dining credit at Mother Wolf. The meal was good and surprisingly reasonably priced. For the bread appetizer and risotto app plus two plates of pastas, the bill was about $110. All
right.
We did not get drinks or dessert, though, as they were usually $20 each, so keep that in mind if you go.
Okay.
I know we talked about this before because I went with Alistair. It's very reasonably priced there, and everything is kind of served family style. So when you get the apps and the pastas and stuff, it's meant to be shared. Everything we had was fantastic. I would totally go back there again. So, I mean, and we had, I'm trying to think for Alistair, because we had drinks.
Okay.
And I feel like, oh, I shouldn't say it now, because for some reason I remember that our bill was like $150 for the two of us, which is insane, but it might have been a little bit more than that. Either way, even with drinks, it was still very reasonable.
Okay.
All right. Finally, we used the tickets Lindsay won in the Monday's Dark Treasure Box raffle to go to the Neon Museum for the self-guided tour and the brilliant show.
Nice.
It was great and a perfect way to end our trip.
Oh, they ended the trip that way. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Love the show. Loved meeting you guys and can't wait to come back.
Yes, we loved meeting you as well. We had a blast. That was so much fun. This is a great review.
Yeah. They had a good time. They're so much fun.
Yeah.
Again, another... I'm just going to say this. We're so fortunate and lucky that 99% of the people that we've met from doing the show are just awesome, amazing people. And even the ones that are in that little 1%, they mean well.
Yeah.
You know, they're not, like, we don't have, knock on wood, any crazy stalkers or anything like that. And everybody's been really nice and just awesome. And I will encourage anybody, please reach out if you're in town. Don't think it's weird. We're used to it by now. Yes, I get why you think it's weird, but it's not weird. As Josh could probably tell you.
No, it's not weird. It was a little weird at first. It felt weird at first. But it's not weird anymore.
Right.
So, yeah.
It's worth the gamble.
And even being a one percenter, they still oblige and reach out to me and stuff. So, yeah.
Well, and even this morning, we met a new friend of the show this morning. Well, new to us. But he was kind of like, this is so weird. I'm sitting here with you guys and I know so much about you and you know nothing about me. And I was like, yeah, we know.
Yeah.
We do this a lot. It's okay.
We're used to it.
We put ourselves out there. We know what it is. And, you know, if again, you listen to the show and you don't hate us, we're probably going to be pretty good friends.
Right.
All right, and we have an email here from great friend of the show, Tim Kennedy. I'm glad I get to read Tim's email. So Tim says, and he words this perfectly, considering the changes the show's been going through. Hello, 360 team.
He doesn't want to offend anybody.
No one's left out. No one thinks they should have been put somewhere else. Hello, 360 team. Just a quick trip report from the guys' weekend a couple weeks ago. Didn't want to make it too long, or some of it will end up on Tony's cutting room floor.
Oh, I hope Tony listens to this.
Stayed at the Excalibur. Oh, got an Excalibur theme on this one.
Apparently.
Stayed at the Excalibur. First time staying at an MGM property. I like that. If you're going to go to MGM, start at the Excalibur, and then it can only get better.
Right. That's true. Very true.
I have to say I was overall pleased with everything, other than my room being at the absolute end of the hall. They call that room Murder Central. The thinking is that someone can break into your room, rob and kill you, and then just run down the stairs. I think I saw that on CSI or something. Wow.
Tim in rare form.
I really like the MGM Rewards app. Checked in on the app in the morning, and by the time I got to the hotel, my room was ready and had a digital key. Walked right up to my room. Caesars needs to work on getting that. Yeah, I've heard so many horror stories about checking at Caesars. So.
Yeah.
First thing I did was tier match from the Caesars Diamond to MGM Gold. They told me if I wanted to stay gold, I would need 50,000 tier credits in 3 months. I was like, pa-ha, 50,000. That won't be happening.
Wait, gold. See, this is what gets so confusing about tier statuses. Because, like, yes. I'm right now, I'm gold at Caesars. Mm-hmm. So how do you go from Diamond Plus to gold?
Well, because gold Caesars starter ranking.
Well, yeah. I know. But if he's Diamond Plus and he matches at MGM at gold.
But gold is MGM's, like,
third tier,
third
isn't it?
Level, yeah.
Yeah. Just,
yeah.
They need to get aligned on all these tier levels because it's fucking confusing.
I think it's Sapphire, totally. Pearl, and then whatever he got matched to.
So another thing that to point out here is that, you know, it kind of used to be if you got tier match, you were good for the rest of the year and sometimes the following year.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And MGM has now done this thing where it's like, okay, we're giving you this for 90 days. Right. And you have 90 days to earn X number of credits.
You better show us that you deserve this.
Keep it, yeah.
50,000. And you know how hard it is to get tier credits at MGM? Yeah. Stupid.
Yeah. But what that did get him, if he played his cards right, was also no resort fees for his stay. So.
Oh. Ooh, okay, yeah.
So.
Worth tier, I mean, hell, tier match and get something free.
Agreed. Yeah.
No resort fees at Excalibur. That's awesome. All my friends showed up, and video poker, blackjack, and craps ensued, along with some drinks, naturally. We had dinner at the sports bar in Excalibur called Tap. That was incredibly meh. Service was great, food not so much.
I don't think we've ever eaten there.
No, not at Excalibur.
No, I don't think we've... I think the only place we've ever eaten at Excalibur is in the steakhouse.
I think that's correct.
Which was surprisingly good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'd be up for that. Well, and I have eaten at the food court for obvious reasons. but, yeah.
I was trying to think if I'd ever eaten at Excalibur, and I have, but it's always been at Tournament of Kings. So.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
With the kids. So, yeah. We then headed over to Trop for a last hurrah. We all got on one blackjack table and played for about an hour. That was a fine last memory for the Trop. Rest in peace. That's awesome.
That you all were able to get on one table and play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. Good way to say goodbye. Sunday, one of my friends went to some Irish bar to watch a soccer game, and two of my other friends went to church. Church? In Vegas? Did they go to get married to each other?
Right. That's the only explanation that I can accept. Yeah.
I guess that can happen. Mm-hmm. Anyway, me and Tom had breakfast at the Pyramid Cafe at Luxor. It was good. Got a little floor show, security dragging a drunk guy out. Right, a free show with dinner.
Right.
With breakfast.
This dude was pretty drunk for 8:30 a.m.
Oof.
I know. Vegas, right?
Right, exactly.
Some people just can't handle Vegas.
This guy might have fallen down an elevator or an escalator an hour
later. Right earlier.
Well, no, an hour later. Because that guy was at 9:30.
Oh, okay.
This is at 8:30.
headed over to the carnival court to check out the whippets and do some day drinking like you do.
Yeah.
It is never not a good time. I agree, Tim.
I've heard so many great things about the whippets.
Then we realized we did not have lunch. It's wild. The only time I forget to eat is in Vegas.
And usually by then it catches up with you pretty quickly.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Why'd I get drunk so fast?
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Had dinner at the Yard House on the Link Promenade. Another underwhelming meal.
No. Hmm.
Back to the castle for some non-winning gambling. So, Yard House is a chain. I know some people don't have it near where they are at. I like eating at Yard House, but
yeah, so
will
we.
Not eat at the one at Vegas because it's like, well, I've got one over there. So
it same to us.
Thank
We've
you.
Got one in Resorts World. So
Red Rock.
Or Red Rock.
Yeah. Monday, we checked out the two new casinos, Fontainebleau and Durango. Mm-hmm. Fontainebleau was amazing. Tier match from Caesars Diamond Plus to Silver. Got $100 resort credit. This seems like a theme. We might be advertising or something. So
right.
I know.
We inadvertently started advertising for Fontainebleau.
Right. $100 resort credit. Him and I will be using that in November. To activate the card, they said just put it in any slot. You don't need to play. Just put the card in to activate. She did not know who she was talking to. Hit that slot for $400.
Nice. Ooh. Well done.
Nice.
Durango was very nice. I liked how light it was. We played some single deck blackjack, had a slice of pizza in the food court. I would go back. I'm curious what the minimums for that single deck.
Agreed.
Yeah. I don't know.
Monday night, we had dinner at Tender at the Luxor.
That's
that was
steakhouse.
Really the only good meal I had for the trip.
Aww.
Got reservation, no problem.
We haven't been to Tender in a while, but that was a
good food.
It's consistently been good food.
Yeah.
Okay. Good to know. Service and food was awesome. The only problem was the wine my friend chose, but I blame him for that, not the restaurant. You picked it, buddy. It's
exactly.
Your problem.
Right.
That's about it was down gambling-wise. After some discussion with Kim, I will be making it to Vegas Vacation 14.
See
you in Jim.
Yay.
I remember Tim had said there would be some negotiations about
right.
This trip
yeah.
Was going to prevent him from going.
And well, and he's coming back in November with his wife. So, you know, to add a third trip into Vegas in there, I'm sure was a little bit kind of, now look, dear.
I'm sure he was a good boy. He's earned it.
I'm sure he has earned it, definitely. And thank you, Kim, for letting him come out to play with
yes.
us in June.
Yes. Thanks, Kim.
As always, thank you for listening and downloading. We really do appreciate it. If you'd like to send some feedback, just like all our listeners did for today's special episode, you can do so at 360vegaspodcast@gmail.com. You can get premium and sometimes exclusive content when you subscribe to our show at patreon.com/360vegas. Get 360 Vegas shirts, mugs, and anything else we can slap a logo on at zazzle.com/360vegas. Join the conversation on Discord. A link to our server can be found at 360vegaspodcast.com.
Josh, where can folks find you?
I'm at Vegas JDubs.
Karen.
I'm at 360 Vegas Karen.
He just told you where you can find me, so until next time.